Hello, amazing folks. Welcome to another interesting episode of the podcast show, Trivia Talks. I'm your host, Tarun Mundra, and in this episode, we are going to talk about habits. Habits is a very beautiful part of our life and they make and break our life. So to discuss about how to break bad ones, how to build new and good ones, and also certain rules about habit, we have with us Astin Doctor. Astin is a habit trainer and coach, and he's also the founder of Awesome 180. He believes that awesome lives start with awesome habits. He's also the host of the Habit Coach podcast, which is one of the best podcasts about habit in the country. In this episode, we discussed each and everything about habit in a very simple manner. So without any further ado, let's start this awesome discussion with Astin Doctor. Let's go. Well, hello, sir. Welcome to Trivia Talks. It's an honor having you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Very excited.
Glad to hear that, sir. So, sir, starting with the first question, which is about your journey as a habit coach. So I would like to ask you, like, how your journey started as a habit coach?
So this whole habit coaching started because I realized that, you know, people wanted to make changes in their life. You know, everyone's saying that I want to get better. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to, you know, start my business. I want to lose weight. I want to get better at my studies. But very often they don't end up doing any of that. And it's very interesting to see, because what is happening is that very often they don't start because they don't think that they have enough self-discipline. They don't start because they think that they don't have the motivation to do it. And I recognize this because, you know, people come and ask me for tips on how do I get healthier? How do I lose weight? How do I get fitter? And every time I would tell them, they would look back at me and say, you know, I don't think I can do this. You're doing this. I'll just look at you. And I think looking at your exercises only, I'll burn my calories, you know? And immediately that's how people would started responding to it, because they realized that they did not feel that they had the discipline to get through this. And when I saw this happening, I said that there must be a better way, because I don't think I'm the most disciplined person on the planet. And if I was able to make a change, what was it that I did right? And I went back and I realized that what I'd done was two important things. One is that I had found the correct information. You know, half the time we are constantly searching for information, but it is junk information. How many times have you heard people say, you should have fruits first thing in the morning. Acha, who told you this? And they say, my auntie told me. So basically your source of knowledge is your auntie.
Yeah.
You know? So it's very interesting to see how people get the source of knowledge, and you're not getting the right sources. So you first have to get the right source of information and knowledge. The second thing that you have to do is realize, how can you make an action repeatable? How can you continue doing that action with consistency for the rest of your life? If it is not possible, don't do that action. You know, so for example, going for a 10 kilometer run every single morning is not a possible thing, right? Not everyone can do it. Some people do, but not something that everyone can do. So why do we start directly there? We should start with a much smaller habit, with much smaller routine, and then slowly build our way up. And very often we have these role models that we look at, you know, this person did 24 marathons in 24 days, and we get all inspired and wanting to do it. But the problem is that we get inspired, and which is why we want to do it. We don't necessarily have the intention of doing what that person did. And all our habits and all of it start from that point. So as soon as I realized this, I said that there must be a better way of making changes in people's life. And that's when this whole idea of habit coaching started. And it started with me focusing on six fundamental aspects of people's lives, which was sleep, de-stressing, nutrition, movement, hydration, and breathing. And once I realized that this is something that we can focus on, I started doing this as one-on-one coaching. And then I think after about 6 months of doing that, we launched the Habit Coach podcast, which started doing extremely well. It was consistently in the top 10 after that. So, you know, once that happened, we realized that there was this momentum and people are, you know, seeing a lot of value in the whole habit coaching. So it was basically something that I created from scratch. There is no such thing as habit coaching till we did this.
Huh? Wow, that's amazing, sir. So, sir, as you also believe that, you know, having an awesome life is easy, all we have to do is identify and create the right habits, routine, and rituals that will make us awesome, right?
Correct.
So I will talk about from the perspective of a 20-year-old student that he don't have any kind of pressure in his life. He is having like amazing life and he's enjoying it. And he is having the routine flexibility. Like he's having flexibility in the life, right? Mm. Why that person should focus on the habit part as of now? Because why habit is important for him?
Mm. You know, very often when we think about habits, we think about it as becoming something boring. You know, ki routine ho gaya. Yeah. But we don't realize that our every day is nothing but a stream of habits that we put together. You know, right from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep are nothing but the habits that you do. It is not that you're living with such consciousness every day. Now, half the time, most of the things we do, in fact, are all subconscious. When you go and sit in the on the pot with your phone, you didn't consciously decide saying, "Aaj I will sit on the pot with my phone." You know, it automatically happens for most of us.
Right.
So those are habits that are already part of our life, whether we are college students or 75-year-olds. All of us have routines. And it's important that if you can start tweaking that now, you can then create something that's so fantastic. Like I keep telling people that my biggest regret is that I know all this too late in life. I'm now 37, which I still feel it's too late, because imagine what I could have done if I'd done this at 20. You know, what I could have been able to do with my life, how healthier I could have been. And I've gone through my own phase of being extremely healthy to being extremely unhealthy to what I am now, right? So I've gone through that journey. I know that I wish if I had not done that, I may have added 3 years more to my life or 5 years more to my life. And I think this is the way that we can start thinking about it. But the big issue comes, especially when I talk to kids in college, that their intention is not correct. You know, half the time we are told to do things because our parents tell us to do things or the school tells us to do things. But why we want to do what we have to do, that is not clear. And if you at this age can figure out this why and actually spend time on it, you will be so far ahead of anyone else. It's not even funny.
Very true, sir. So, sir, I would like to add one question over here, which is five tips which you would like to give the 20 years of yourself.
So the first thing is don't take myself so seriously. Okay. I used to be like, oh, I have to be the best at this. I have to do this. Everyone's looking. Everyone. I took myself so seriously. Guys, not to take yourself so seriously. All this life will pass by so fast. Right. Just enjoy this moment. Okay. That is one. The second thing is at an age when you don't feel any aches and pains, at an age when you don't feel any stress on your body or you don't feel any illness, this is the time when you actually work on yourself. Don't wait to feel bad. Don't wait for a pain to come to then do something about it. You know, don't wait to say that, oh, I'm unhealthy now, so I will do something about it. You know, as you age, one of the most common questions everyone's going to ask at a, you know, what you go through is, how do I lose weight? Because that is a big thing, right? How do I lose weight? And one of the best answers that I've ever seen somebody give was, the best way to lose weight is to not put it on in the first place. So you're not necessarily in a stage when you're overweight. Maintain. Don't say, nothing to me, so I can eat 4 pizzas. That's what I did. My daily meals were butter chicken and jeera rice, followed by 2 packets of Maggi every time I came home. Right? When I was a kid, it was Nutella sandwich dipped in milk. So I know what it was like to say I'm invincible. But I realize now that I wish I had not done that. My health would have been in a completely different place. Okay. The third thing is that whatever that you're studying right now may or may not have an impact in the future. So don't worry about what you're doing right now, but what are the habits you're doing is teaching you. For example, if you're doing engineering, the beauty of engineering is how engineering teaches you to think. You know, there's a certain way of thinking that engineering teaches you. I did arts, so there's a certain way of thinking that sociology and anthropology taught me, which is what I use in my life now. Doing an MBA, correct? MBA teaches you a certain skill set, which is how to work in a group, for example. But you don't realize that. Instead, what I'm saying is, understand what is the skill that this program is trying to teach me and use that, because that's what's going to give you that big step for the future.
Perfect, sir. Perfect. Like, actually, and this is very important to understand that, you know, like regarding MBA, if I tell you, because most of them are more into the theoretical knowledge and they would like to crack the interview only because they are willing for the placement itself.
Correct.
So it's very important to understand the concept behind it and to understand the skills which are over there. So it is a very valid point. So moving towards this COVID-19 part, and we have seen many testing times, and, you know, students were suffering the most, especially the final year students, because they were worried about their placements, they were worried about their future, and many things was happening at the same time because everything went virtual and we were missing our campus life, and we are still missing our campus life. So I would like to ask you, like, when we are facing anxiety, loneliness and depression, so how to control those things and how to, you know, come out from all these negativities?
So one is, you use three completely different words very loosely.
Yes,
correct. You said loneliness, anxiety and depression. Right, they are all very, very big dramatic things.
Mm-hmm.
What 75% of y'all are going through is not loneliness, anxiety or depression. Okay, you might have had flavors of it throughout this, but a full blown anxiety attack is very different. A full blown feeling of depression is completely different. So don't use those words lightly. What I would suggest is spend time understanding what is happening. If you're feeling lonely, why are you feeling lonely? And is it that you've not met your friends? Is it that you've not had enough communication? Or is it that everybody is now so bothered about themselves that that loneliness is coming in? You know, you can always do something about that loneliness. And while you all are saying this, understand that at your age, it is very easy to have a thriving social life. Loneliness, I'm seeing as a bigger issue amongst people in their 40s and 50s. Because they don't know how to make friends. You know, you all at least have a catchment area, which is your college. But when you're at 50, where would you go and make a friend? It's almost impossible for them. So they are feeling an acute sense of loneliness. What you all need to learn and understand is that this phase of the whole lockdown and COVID is a blessing in disguise for you all. Okay? The first thing is teaching you. This is teaching you about changing times. Those that will do well during this time are those that can deal with change. Those that will suffer are those who find change very scary, who are so stuck in the rigid way that they've been doing things. They are the ones that are going to suffer the most. So if you realize and see that, wow, this is all an experiment, or wow, this is all an adventure, then your mindset completely changes. It moves away from this whole loneliness, anxiety to depression, to thinking, along with my MBA, now I have so much free time, I can probably start a business on the side. And I know kids who've done that. While they're studying, they started a business on the side during this lockdown. So, you know, it is all a change of perception. And like I said, if you start using words like loneliness, anxiety, and depression, you will loneliness, anxiety, and depression. If you start looking at words like opportunity, if you start looking at words like you know, unprecedented times, if you look at words like comfortable with change, that's how you will start feeling.
Right, sir. And very well explained, actually. The reason I was using the word lonely or anxietiness, you can say, which is because of the, you know, the social media, because this is a platform where everything is kind of fake because no one is showing their failure, right? We see that everything over there is a part of their life, which is the happiness. And someone who is over there in their house or someone who is not at a place where they are, they try to, like, I was watching this video on social media itself, and he was talking about that Instagram is a lie. Because you are not going to see the video which are for you, like the struggle which you are doing right now in your life. They are not going to show you the right platform. It is all about the other part of the life. So for that reason, I was asking you for the suggestion, like, what exactly a student can do from it? Like, should they totally, you know, stop the social media part, or they like try to find some other habits?
You know, Tarun, this is such an important point, because if I say get rid of social media, that is such a like an uncle thing to say, because it's impossible to do. If I ask you to get rid of your social media, is it actually possible? Impossible. Even for me, it's impossible, right? So I'm not going to kid you by saying get rid of the social media. What I will tell you is understand and curate your social media. So what I did during this lockdown is I unfollowed close to like 2,500 people. right? Wow. Anyone that did not make me feel better about myself, I unfollowed. Okay. That is how you start using social media in a more productive way. There are lots of users who are putting out lots of positive content. Okay. You can follow me. It's always positive content on my channel, right? Very rarely do I do things that tease people with FOMO. Although maybe in the coming weeks, you'll see that because I'm off holiday finally after 1 year, but you might see a little bit of FOMOing happening. But the thing is that there are lots of places that are teaching you, that putting out content that don't make you feel that FOMO, that fear of missing out. What you do is you can curate your friends. The second thing that you can do is you can start being real as well on social media. Tarun, the thing that we should ask ourselves is that if we're criticizing others for not putting up their real life, putting up our real life on social media, and if their answer
very is true, no, sir, yeah,
right, then it's a classic thing that all mummies tell you, na, there are three fingers pointing back at you every time you put a finger out at somebody else. So
right.
So it starts with us. It starts with those decisions. I don't think it's a dramatic step about getting out of social media, uninstalling Instagram, doing Twitter, removing Twitter. I've done all of that. None of it works.
Okay. Yeah, so that's very right. And, you know, that is part of life and we should not make it a life. So that is a very valid point by you. So, sir, I will try to highlight on the focus part, because, you know, to find focus and attention in life, I tried meditation. So it was very difficult in the initial stage because I was focusing on the four stages of habit. So I read this book, which is The Power of Habit, and which had four stages, which is cue, craving, response, and reward, right? So I was looking for that cue, which was to create, like, which was to have the focus in life. And the craving for me was to sit in an idle place and self-analyze myself. Like, thoughts will be there, but I have to self-analyze myself. And in the initial time, it was very difficult for me, because for 10 to 15 minutes, I was able to sit in a place very quietly and I was doing it. But the, you can say, the consistency break at one point of time, and it was happening for, you know, again and again. I was not aware about the reward part, because that will give me focus, but that might be temporary, not permanent, right? So my question to you is, if I am trying, like if any student is also trying to, you know, start meditation or something like self-analyzing, so what should be the first step? So how should we start? Because I tried the small step, it was not helping me a lot. So how one should, you know, analyze this meditation part if they are trying to do it?
Lovely question, Tarun. Let's break it down. Firstly, let's understand that the way that we are taught meditation, again, might not be the right way for us to do it. Remember, I started right in the beginning saying that you have to figure out where you're getting your information from. So start by understanding that maybe the meditation that you're doing is not necessarily a good place for beginners to start from. What I typically say is that you have to break it up into two aspects. And your question actually was two. One was focus and the second was meditation, or the focus and mindfulness. Two separate things. Okay. To understand focus as a very simple habit. Do you have a desk that you sit and work at?
Yes, sir. I do have.
Okay. What I want you to do is, on the wall in front of your desk, I want you to go and make one small mark with a pen. Okay.
Okay.
Make sure it's so small that I can't see it and give you a thappad. All right. So make sure it's a small dot. And what I want you to do is, I want you to sit there and just stare at that dot. Every time you lose focus on that dot, it's all right. Shake your head and look back at it. You slowly start seeing over a period of time that your ability to focus increases. This is an example, because what I want to show you is that focus is like a muscle. The more you use it, the more the stronger it becomes. The less you use it, the weaker it becomes. So just a simple thing of sitting and staring makes a big, big, big difference to the way that your focus grows. The second part of what you said was that I found it very, very hard to sit and meditate. Many people say, I can't do that thoughtlessness thing. Thoughts keep coming. And the problem with that is that we think of meditation. And meditation is almost the last step on this journey. Before meditation, there is a step called mindfulness. And before mindfulness, there's a step called introspection. Okay? Why do so many thoughts come to our mind when we're sitting peacefully? One, we don't spend enough time sitting peacefully. So all these thoughts are trying to get your attention. So the second thing is that, imagine if you want to say something to a friend of yours, and every time you start talking, the person says, shh, 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 shut up, shut up, shut up. Look at that beautiful bird. Shut up, shut up, shut up. Look at that Netflix. Well, inside you start feeling, saying, why isn't this person listening to me? Why isn't this person listening to me? And any opportunity and sneak whatever you want to say. That is what your brain is basically doing. We don't give our mind an opportunity for it to release all these random thoughts. That's it. When you're sitting peacefully, these random thoughts come up. So the way to do it is to get a habit of introspection. What I want you to do is I want you to sit down every morning and do something called free journaling. What is that? You sit down on your table, set an alarm on your phone for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I suggest 10 minutes. And I want you to write. Just start writing. What you write? Anything comes to your mind. You don't have to focus. No one is going to read this. It's not going to get published in paper. You're not going to get a prize for it. You might even want to tear it up and throw it away afterwards. But I want you to just write, 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 write. Even if you want to start off by saying, you know, this stupid Ashton's making me write this. I don't know why he's making me do this. Oh, this pen is feeling so smooth today. I wonder why I bought this from. Ah, I remember I bought it from Kashmir. You see, what happens is that you go through this chain of thought. And very soon, your mind immediately starts throwing up all the stuff that it wasn't getting an opportunity to say. And that's how your mind slowly, slowly starts becoming shant and shant and shant. Because all the stuff that it wants to tell you, now you finally have put it out on paper. A couple of important things. One is, don't type this. I want you to write this. Okay. So don't say, yeah, I'll type. No, I want you to physically write on a piece of paper, because some magic happens when you use your, hand and write. So Okay. Those are basically those two points that I was saying on the focus and the meditation. So start off with introspection.
Sure, sir. And that is very helpful. And I'm sure, like, I will try it and I will definitely get back to you regarding it. Please, and it will also help all the listeners who are listening and who are trying to do meditation but are not getting successful in that. So, yeah. Like, what were the challenges did you face during your initial journey as a habit coach?
One important challenge was getting the right information. So as a result, I got into the whole habit of researching like crazy. I'm the kind of person that, you know, I'm an enthu cutlet. As soon as I find something interesting, I full deep dive into it. So I think getting the right information was the toughest, especially because when you do any search online, and I'm sure you all must be doing this all the time with your MBA, you always get opposing answers to everything that you search for. You know, some people will say this, some people will say that. So it leads to this confusion. So finding a good resource that you can trust, I think that is one of the hardest things that you can do. The second thing is that I did not face too many difficulties because I figured out the rules for habit. And there are three rules. Like you mentioned, the power of habit and how he talks about habit loops. I don't necessarily buy into that philosophy. I follow the three rules of habit change as an idea. The first rule is make it small. So don't do something that is super hard to do, super large to do, right? I will start off with 300 pull-ups every day. No. Start off with doing just a hang from a bar, you know, and then slowly, slowly build up. So make it small. The second is make it easy to do. Remove as much friction as you can from doing that task. That is the second rule. And the third rule is to build consistency, which is never miss 2 days in a row. If you can never miss 2 days in a row, you're on your path to consistency. So I think that if you follow these three rules, making a change in your life is actually very easy. And that's how I see it, especially with my clients, the people that I work with, the listeners of the Habit Coach podcast. They say that, guess what? I never thought I'd be able to finish a book. And I actually used your simple habit of just read one page a day. And I finished my book for the first time. And, you know, it's stuff like this that you realize that you probably could never have done before that you can, because you just, all you did was break it up into small bits, and then you trusted time and you trusted the consistency for it to compound.
Oh, wow. And like, I will definitely talk about the podcast, sir. So those who don't know, sir is having this The Habit Coach podcast, which is amazing. And each and every episode will give you a brief insight about beautiful topics. And the podcast is very small. You can, you know, listen to the podcast within like 5 to 6 minutes. So I would like to ask you, sir, regarding your podcast, like how your journey started as a podcaster. Like, what was the idea behind starting it?
It started off with a complete disaster. So I'd been listening to podcasts for the last 5-6 years. So I knew what they were. Most people in India had no idea about what podcasts were at that time. And which is why when we started this whole habit coaching thing, I said that I have to create my own podcast because, you know, it was a fun thing to do. And I went out and I got myself a fancy microphone and I set up an interview with one of my doctor friends and we sat down and we recorded an episode. And it was so bad, Tarun. It was so bad. I can't even tell you how bad it was. So we promised never, 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 never to ever listen to it again, instantly delete it. And that was that. And then I went back and I started practicing how to interview people. I started learning about how to talk. And all those hard work had to happen. One day, I met somebody at a friend's birthday party. And, you know, typically when you meet a person at the birthday party, we start talking. And I was like, so what do you do? And she said that I own a podcasting studio. And I was like, what do you mean by own a podcasting studio? I had no idea India had podcasts. She's like, yeah, yeah. Our brand already has some 60-odd podcasts in it. And I was like, wow. So that from that conversation itself, I got onto one of her podcasts, whose birthday it was there. She runs something called the Kinetic Living Podcast, Urmi Kothari. And from there, we said that, all right, let's think about what we can do on a habit podcast. And together, we created the Habit Coach podcast. It's with a company called IVM. And it was their idea to make it this bite-sized 7-minute format. We do 3 episodes a week, which is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And now, during the lockdown, we made it a daily. So not only are we doing the 3 episodes, we're doing 2 other episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays as well. So, you know, in fact, it's the idea was, how do you get people into the habit of listening to podcasts? And it's been a fantastic journey. We are consistently in the top 10 with regards to, you know, the whole lifestyle, health, those kind of topics. And it's been extremely rewarding.
Wow, sir. That's amazing, sir. And congratulations for that. So moving towards the bad and destructive habits, because those are also equally important. What is your tips to avoid those habits? Because, you know, like unconsciously, those habits become part of our life. And after that, it becomes very difficult to, you know, get rid of it. So what would your advice to, you know, get rid of those bad habits?
So firstly, I don't think of them as bad habits because they play a role in your life. You know, somebody who smokes, right? They smoke because that smoking is doing something for them. It is just that they don't know what it is doing for them. Many times, for example, somebody who drinks, drinks in the evenings because they are lonely. So that drink is fixing their loneliness. What happens is that you are not strong enough to stand by yourself. So you need a crutch. And the bad habit becomes that crutch for you. So in order to get rid of a bad habit, it's very interesting. You don't try and focus on the bad habit at all. What you do is you create enough other good habits to make you stronger. You know, if you have a drink every evening because you're lonely, get into the habit of maybe going for an evening walk. Maybe you can meet a friend on your evening walk. That itself will get rid of that drinking habit over a long period of time. So think about habits in this context. Again, there's a very interesting thing about habits and bad habits and good habits. One way of looking at it is, a good habit is something that is painful to do right now, but the benefit is seen later on. A bad habit is something that feels great right now, but the reduction or the feeling is felt later on. You know, so it's very interesting that you can use these different ways of thinking about your habits. So, you know, a big, large binge eating, a big, large chocolate cake feels amazing right now, but you're going to feel sick the next day. Right. So you can start thinking about habits and bad habits that way. Like my favorite way of talking about it is, you know, if you're out at a party and you have 35 tequilas, you will feel like King Kong. But tomorrow you will feel like crap. Right. So that is the way to start thinking about bad habits. And if you can learn to delay gratification, this is a very, very important thing. I think this is something that all of us should learn, especially some of us who want to become entrepreneurs in life. If you can learn to delay gratification, that means saying that my rewards will come later on. Let me just put in the work right now. You will see that your ability to make changes and positive changes is dramatically increased. many times entrepreneurs don't see or earn money right in the beginning or the first 2 years, 3 years. That takes a slow progress. You know, many a times we get a job and we say, I want immediately to earn 1.5 lakhs, right? But the way that you can, if you can understand this whole concept of delaying gratification, a whole new world opens up to you.
True that, sir. And sir, regarding our normal habits, which are over there, like we are not even sure that these are our habit, but yeah, it get developed, right? So how surrounding plays a very important role in terms of, you know, developing any kind of habits, because what they are doing, we sometimes consciously or unconsciously, we try to do that only. So how is surrounding important in terms of developing good habits?
There was a study done that said that in a group of friends, if out of 5 friends, if one friend was obese, the chance was that all the other friends would put on 5 kilos or something else. So there was some statistic, like 5 kilos, 10 kilos, something like that. I forget now. But isn't that crazy? One obese friend changes everybody else out there. The same thing they saw was if you had a group of friends and one person was a fitness nut, everybody else would slowly start getting into fitness. What does that mean? That means that our environment changes us, right? And that is so important to understand. And your environment is not just the room that you sit in or the college that you go for, but it's the friends that you keep. It is the family that you have. Family, very hard to change. Friends, slightly easier to change. And you guys should listen to this podcast where I talk about, you know, gardening almost your friends. You know, it is where you look at your friends and say, which ones of these are actually valuable for me, which ones are not valuable for me, and you go about understanding which are the friends that are going to be holding you back in the future, which ones actually have your support or can support you. And at this age in life, it might seem strange to say that, you know, you need to curate your friends, but it's important to do that, because what this does is it gives you a foundation for the future. So spend time curating your friends, spend time curating your environment. Depending on your goal, throw away the junk food. If studying is important right now, remove all the distractions from your table. Use something called the Pomodoro technique. There's a podcast on it. There's a video that I've done on it. You can find lots of information online. It basically teaches you focus. And one part of the Pomodoro focus is about removing as many distractions from your environment as possible.
Wow. That will be very helpful, sir. And sir, now the very important question, what is the secret of your energy, sir?
I was going to say boost, clearly not. So the secret comes from this one word, which is called service. Okay. Where did this come from? I believe that in order to have a life worth living or something, you have to be of service. That means the more you give, the better you feel, the more you get in return. It is like it almost becomes an endless amount. And this means that I don't have my moments of burnout. So through, for example, I was pushing hard because in regular life, people needed to hear content after I was put on. So I was working probably harder than I've ever worked in my life, till the point when last, I think 3 weeks ago, I had any burnout when I was like, bus, I can't do anymore. Anytime somebody messaged me saying, can you help me with this? I was like, no, I'm putting my phone away. And I realized that feeling of that service, and I realized that this was a time in a break. And it happened to us all. And like, you know, Tarun, that we don't share our low story. This is a low story. And I'm sharing it because all of us go through it. And I'm sure during most of us have gone through at least one of these, if not more. And if you can get out of it, if you can learn and realize this, you'll really step ahead. So, which is why I said I'm going on a holiday, my first holiday after a year. So that is how I'm planning it out. And that's how I can come back stronger.
Wow, sir. And thank you so much for sharing that, sir. And so moving towards the last question, which is a tip for all those who would like to schedule their day. And I'm talking about specifically for the college students who are in their college and having regular classes. So what are 3 things they should include in their daily life routine, which can be helpful for them in the long run?
So the first most common one is a gratitude. Okay. Because at our age, we take a lot for granted. You know, there is a certain level of feeling that, you know, everything that is there, we deserve. But we don't realize how many things around us we need to be grateful for. So getting your gratitude practice in place is the first one. The second is scheduling your day. If you can schedule your day, you are 75% way ahead of everybody else in your group. Scheduling your day is so critical. Scheduling the fun moments, scheduling the stressful moments, scheduling the work moments, scheduling the family moments, all of that. And the last thing that I would want to say as a habit that you should be doing every day is please, please, please focus on your sleep. You know, this is a time when we think that we are indestructible. This is a time when we think that we'll sleep when we are dead. This is a time when we think that nothing will happen to us. But if you can sleep better, oh God, it will completely change your life. So start focusing on your sleep. You don't necessarily need to sleep earlier. You don't need to wake up earlier. But what I want you to do is I want you to get enough sleep, undisturbed. Put your phone away. Don't sleep with your phone under your pillow. Keep your phone far away from you. Sleep in a dark room. And basically understand that rest and relaxation is as important as the push that you're going to do in your daily life.
Sure, sir. So, sir, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing so many things. And thank you so much for like creating positivity in this podcast. And thank you so much for joining us and giving your valuable time to the audience, sir.
My pleasure, Tarun. Guys, please follow me on Instagram. Send me a message. I'll reply to every single message. We can continue our conversation there.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Well, that's all from today's episode. I hope you liked it. In case if you have any suggestion or feedback, you can reach out to me at various social media handles. I'm adding the link in the description. Until next time, stay safe and stay tuned.